Good evening. Welcome to Vespers this evening. Tonight you will need a red hymnal that hopefully you grabbed from out there. And our lovely musician in residence for the couple of weeks, Matthew, is leading us in Vespers this evening. So if you will turn to number 512 as our opening hymn.
Since Vespers, the last few nights, was delightfully brief, we would make up all that extra time and just tack it on to Vespers tonight.
Yeah.
So get comfortable, settle in for the long haul. I've got a little message I wanted to share tonight, perhaps atypical of a village musician. Yesterday, I was sitting on the porch of Chalet 10, observing what I can only assume are jumbo-sized Tonka trucks as they slowly disembodied the third-level tailings. I could not help but feel just a little ping of nostalgia. It was on those mine remnants that I first saw the starscape of the Railroad Creek Valley and the midnight glow of Holden Village when you were looking down. It was there that I first experienced a Holden High School graduation ceremony, which was complete with a brass hobo band on the back of a semi-truck bed. It was there that we once projected the band Sigur Rós's DVD, the movie Heimat, to villagers as the sun went down over the mountain ranges. No little feet getting electricity up there. And it was there that I once fell in love, when I least expected it in life. Perhaps a little nostalgia then is valid. Before my helpless eyes, I watched a sacred place begin to disappear. How strange and humbling that the earth on which we rest is as transient as those that inhabit it. It struck me as both faithful and a little bit ironic, then, that amidst the change and the uncertainty of this mine remediation project, our summer theme alludes to such a steadfast notion of foundation. Love before the foundation of the world. This theme, deriving from John chapter 17 and cross-referenced throughout the good book, invites wisdom from countless angles. And don't worry, I'm aware tonight is not officially a Holden-themed service. So I'm running rogue, I guess. But one might be able to take a few different angles of wisdom from this text. One might be being struck by such an incredible testament of grace. How can one even fathom a gift of unconditional love that exists before even the creation of the earth? Or one might be moved by Jesus' deep concern for his disciples that occurs throughout that chapter of John. However, I immediately viewed this year's theme through a lens focused on the broader notion of foundation. The word foundation originates from the Latin verb fundare, to lay a base for. Today we know it contextualized in three or four different connotations. In construction, it's the lowest load-bearing part of a structure. In cosmetology, it's the initial layer of makeup, which provides continuity and support for additional makeups. Or so I'm told. And in our human experience, In our life learning, foundation is the values and the principles and the beliefs from which all of our other learning and life experiences grow upon. Despite these varying connotations of the word foundation, there's one thing in common, at least one thing in common that I'm intrigued by. Whether we're discussing construction, cosmetics, or general human experience. It's the values and belief, or human experience, one can sense the presence of a foundation, but one can rarely see it. I'll say that again. One can sense the presence of a foundation, but one can rarely see it. So what happens when a foundation begins to deteriorate? What happens when the sacred ground through which we've understood ourself and each other is scooped out from under us and hauled off in a really cool-looking dump truck? To explore this question, I'd like to share a story with you tonight. As a high school student, I understood my personal foundation, my self-identity, to be composed of at least three major things. First, there was that childhood need for adventure, for sports, for play, the connection with the outdoors. Whether it was the exhilaration that I loved from mogul skiing, the competition of tennis, or the communal joys of a backpacking trip, I was raised to embrace adventure and play. Secondly, I grew to love music from a very young age. In particular, it was choral and orchestral conducting, of which I saw as an exploration and expression of both myself, but also my budding faith life at the time. And thirdly, how could I forget my dear family and those childhood friends who are still like family to me today? So I headed off to college my first year with these blessed firm foundation around me. I was elated to deepen my studies of music and conducting. I delved into engaging coursework. Not always successfully, but I delved into engaging coursework. I invested in new and enriching friendships. And I further engrossed myself in what I understood to be my calling in this world, my small way of contributing. But towards the end of my first year, an occasional crink and pain in my neck and back turned chronic. I began seeing massage therapists, chiropractors, acupuncturists, osteopaths, physicians, surgeons, anyone with a big name and letters behind it. And from them, I received a slew of diagnoses, from herniated vertebrae, to bulging discs, to spinal stenosis, to fibromyalgia, to latent Lyme's disease. And over the next year, the severity and the persistence of this pain worsened. And I began to experience my first foundation, that of physical movement, deteriorate. I left behind sports and physical activities initially. Then I had to say goodbye to my summer job working in a kitchen and a coffee shop. And eventually I even lost my ability to sit upright long enough to go to a movie with friends. 2 years later, before my junior year in college, I was diagnosed with a rare and incurable spinal disease, a condition that would forever perpetuate my severe chronic pain and slowly cripple my spine throughout the next decade. Though my physical foundation had long been broken, it was now this interrelated connection of music and my faith that was falling right alongside it. I wondered what kind of God would gift, nourish, and support a young man's calling only to have it be stripped by disease. I worried about graduating. I worried about employment. I worried about money and a life living in the pain that I had now known for 3 years. And most often, I wondered, who am I now that I've lost two of my main three identities, two of my main three foundations? 2 years later, and nearly 4 years into my health struggles, I learned that this diagnosis, one that that typically takes 2 to 3 years for medical imaging to prove definitive, was incorrect. I was warned of this in advance, but treated for it anyways for a couple years. And this reverse diagnosis liberated me to start seeing more doctors and pursuing other treatments. And one of whom eventually at New York University helped me understand where my pain was coming from and over the course of 6 more months become completely cured. And to this day, it's an absolute miracle to me, but that is honestly besides the point of tonight's message. Over the course of those 4 years, I learned a kernel of truth, a kernel of wisdom that I try to leave at the forefront of my life each and every day. While I'm not always successful, it's a constant growing practice. And I learned this. I learned that I am not defined by what I do, but instead by who I am. I learned that I am not a skier. I'm simply a friend who loves skiing in good company. I learned that I'm not a camper, but a son and a brother who enjoys embracing the beauty in the outdoors with the family that I love. And I learned that I am not a conductor, but a teacher who, when joining students on their exploration and their expression of life, is most comfortable utilizing music as a vehicle for communal and social change. My foundation, my self-identity, was no longer defined by what I do, but instead by who I strive to be in this vast, mysterious, and wondrous world. I share this story today because there is much around us that questions and threatens our Holden Village foundations. Rather than welcome daily busfuls of Lutheran brothers and sisters as summer guests, we instead wave to strangers masked by tinted windows in a corporate van. Rather than express our heart for hospitality through cooking and baking, we've traded in our homemade bread and our beloved pan-seared kale for hard hats and neon clothing. Looking good, by the way, out there. And tonight, rather than worship alongside Elizabeth and Michaela, we grieve their goodbye and the absence of our pastor, of our friend, and our fellow child of God. But as in construction, as in cosmetology, or as in a life-changing illness, our community's true foundation lies so much deeper than what meets the eye. And it endures far longer than any fear or worry that our heart endures. Under the enormous Tonka trucks and a Main Street torn up, there lies a foundation of stewardship. This beloved village and the environment surrounding us. Today we live in orderly chaos for the investment in tomorrow and the next 50 years. Amidst the absence of school buses full of summer guests, or Saturday evening plates overflowing with kale, there remains a heart of hospitality and a commitment to compassion. We are still called by God to be a people of applied love, if not imperfect love. And percolating below the hardship of today's goodbyes, there forever remain the spirits, the memories, and the values that live on from child to child, friend to friend, pastor to pastor, and generation to generation. What a humbling reminder that amidst change and uncertainty, the true foundations below us forever nurture our walk and our ways. Amen. We sing, "We Walk by Faith and Not by Sight," hymn number 635.
Thank you.
Peace and serve the loving Lord.
Thanks be to God.